Welcome, Rocket Nation. Welcome, Rocket Nation. That includes ladies and gents to the second installment of the Rocket Sports Breakdown. I'm your host, Christian Adams, known to many as Rocket. We got an interesting show for you tonight, and we're going to get things started by, well, me introducing myself to you. My name is Christian Adams. I'm Rocket. I'm a stand-up comedian, actor, performer, entertainer. I went to Specs Howard last year and finished up after an eight-month period to begin doing things like this, and I'm privileged to have the opportunities. I'm thankful. I'm very grateful to the fullest. So I thank you for allowing me to come into your phones, your laptops, computers, whatever, to spend time with you for the next couple of hours. The call-in number tonight is 347-327-9586. We're going to have a great show for you. The main event topic is the best and worst uniforms and logos you've ever seen in history and sports. And believe me, there have been plenty. And I can also say there's a lot now. And that includes all major sports, not just football, not just basketball, but hockey and baseball. So if you want to call in and talk about that, you are more than welcome to do so. As you know, this is a sports show, and I dedicate myself to all sports growing up, such a big sports fan. I want to send a quick congratulations to the USA team for taking care of business this past week in the Olympics. They did their thing. China gave them a hell of a run, but in the end, USA just had too much talent, and not just in basketball, but swimming and gymnastics and just the whole nine. And again, I got to say congratulations to USA for doing what they did. It was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. I had the pleasure of watching as much as of the Olympics as I possibly could. And I was just amazed at what some of these guys were able to do. And I love it. I love our country, and I love it when our country is able to do things like this and win. Phenomenal. Just absolutely phenomenal. I also want to say congratulations to Mariners pitcher Felix Hernandez for tossing a perfect game earlier today. He did it against the Tampa Bay Rays. He struck out 12. Just amazing. I like it when a lot of these pitchers get a chance to do these things because, as you know, in baseball, most of these pitchers don't have complete games. Some of these guys, well, most of them for that matter, will start, maybe get pulled out in the sixth or seventh inning, and then it's up to the other guy, whoever that is, or the closer to come in, finish up the game, take care of business, and do what needs to be done. So congratulations to Felix Hernandez. Even though the Mariners have been struggling this year, he has been a bright spot on this team, and again, just a phenomenal performance. Now, when it comes to baseball, with every bit of good news, there's always bad news, and we found out today that Giants outfielder Melky Cabrera has been suspended for 50 games for testing positive for testosterone, which is another performance-enhancing drug. And it's unfortunate because this guy was arguably their best player this year. He had an all-star caliber season. He made the all-star team. He put up some great numbers. And for this to happen while the Giants are in the midst of trying to fight for not just division crown, but maybe a wild card spot in the MLB playoffs and a National League conference, it's unfortunate that something like this happens at a time like this. Now, as you know, the playoffs are kind of around the corner, about a month and a half away, and to see something like this and to witness something like this happening, it's just unfortunate. So, unfortunately, if you're a Giants fan, this news couldn't come at a worse time, and, you know, what can you do? What can you do? Now, I will say I still think that this team has a chance to compete. Although they're losing arguably their best player, it hurts, but it's not too late. You don't want to throw in the towel, and you certainly don't want to give up on yourself if you're the rest of the players on that roster who have a chance to step up their game and, you know, do what needs to be done to help the team get to the promised land. So it's unfortunate, but when you cheat the game, you got to pay for it. It's as simple as that. And I think about a lot of these guys, and I was wondering about it earlier, the guys who I grew up watching, Mark McGwire, Barry Bonds, Sammy Sosa, Rafael Palmeiro, Alex Rodriguez, it's a shame. It's a shame. Manny Ramirez, you can throw him into the list too. I grew up watching these guys. I was a big baseball fan from I would say the mid-90s up until maybe a few years ago before a lot of these steroid allegations really started to come out. And I could just recall everything that was going on regarding who tested positive and who tested negative, and the guys who stood up before a conference and flat out said, I didn't do this. And I remember Mark McGwire being the main guy to say it to Congress. He pointed his finger at the judge and said, I didn't take steroids. And so I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe he's cool. The next thing you know, when the results came in and when the reports came out, it was just like, oh, my God, what is going on here? This is just unfortunate. And I just lost respect for a guy like that. And it's a shame. I was one of those people who was pulling for Mark McGwire to break that single-season home run record when he was with the St. Louis Cards. I was one of them. I was pulling for him. I would watch every Cardinals game, whether they won or lost, just to see Mark McGwire attempt to break that record, which he did, and now it doesn't really mean anything. Speaking of Barry Bonds, I kind of got a laugh out of this a little bit. Barry Bonds recently said that he should be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Wrong answer, buddy. Not going to happen. Let me tell you this, and some of you can probably agree with me. When you cheat the game, that's it. There's no turning back. There's no, oh, well, I did it. I apologize, and everything's going to be cool. No, it doesn't work that way, I'm afraid. See, people like to come out and will say things like this, thinking that everything's going to be cool. There's more to just a public apology and a public defense than, okay, well, I put up all these big numbers. I should go in automatically. Well, last I checked, your percentage isn't working so well for you. So what are you going to do? And what can you do? I mean, just hearing something like that really makes me laugh because it's like, dude, you took performance-enhancing drugs just so you could put up those numbers, and you expect people to take you seriously? You expect people to just, you know, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate, and I could just recall something like this happening, and I'm like, dude, are you for real? For real, for real? I mean, unbelievable. Unbelievable for him to say that. You can get a laugh out of that, too. You can go ahead and laugh if you want, but it's the truth. And when you hear somebody say something like that, it just makes you want to turn your head the other way. Now, as everybody knows, the NFL preseason just started this past weekend. A lot of teams kicked off into high gear. A lot of the players, especially the rookies, got a chance to see some game action. And as far as I'm concerned, the top rookie quarterbacks, a lot of them played fairly well. Andrew Luck was just phenomenal. The guy was just amazing. His first pass was a 60-yard touchdown. For those people who don't remember, Peyton Manning, when he made his preseason debut in 1998, his first pass was a 68-yard touchdown. His first throw in a preseason game was a 68-yard touchdown to Marvin Harrison. A lot of people said, oh, yeah, I think we found that combination. And, boy, would they go on and make wonderful music together for many, many years. And Harrison had a phenomenal career despite what happened towards the end of it. But he has a Super Bowl ring, and he has the great numbers to show for it. Peyton Manning has moved on to the Denver Broncos, and in his first preseason game, he played well. He played well. It's all about an adjustment period. Anytime you make your debut for a new team, you're playing in a new system, you're playing for a different coach, and you're playing with different teammates, yeah, it's going to be an adjustment period. That's the way the game is. It's a certain level of adjusting to what that system is and what you're going to do in that system. So it is what it is. And that's the beauty of it, because you get to see yourself elevate to higher standards. You never really know exactly how things are going to turn out until you go out there and you give it a shot. And as far as I'm concerned, I think he's doing well for himself, and I think he's going to help this Denver Bronco team get better. But they have to stay focused. They have to continue to do what they're doing. And he has to get better because, again, the guy ain't seen game action in over a year. So anytime you miss a year, whether it's injury or you just take a year off, yeah, you're going to come back to having some flaws and things of that nature. Now, speaking of a guy who took a year off, actually, there was a couple. I talked about Randy Moss last week, and now this time I'm talking about Terrell Owens, who is officially back in the NFL. He signed a short contract with the Seattle Seahawks, and I think that's a pretty good move for them because they just cut Mike Williams. They cut another wide receiver not too long ago. They signed Braylon Edwards, who came off a dismal year in San Francisco due to injuries. He's back, and he's looking healthy. He played pretty well in that preseason game against the Titans. Having Owens sure will help bolster the wide receiver depth chart. Now, as you know, they already got Sidney Rice, who's been a flat-out disappointment. I don't care what anyone says. He's nothing like the guy he was in Minnesota. Part of that might have to do with the fact that he just doesn't have that quarterback to really get him the football. But at the same time, if you're a wide receiver, you got the skills, you got the talent, you got to hold up on your end. It's just plain and simple. And people will talk about, well, this guy has all the talent to develop into one of the league's best, but he hasn't shown it. Well, sometimes not having a quarterback to get the ball to you hurts, but you got to hold your own. You got to make the plays when you are counted on to make the plays, and he hasn't always done that since changing uniforms a couple years ago. Now, as far as Owens is concerned, I think that this could work out for the Seahawks in the long term because, again, they need a wide receiver depth. And keep in mind, Braylon Edwards is a free agent too, so they brought him in. Now, I know that a lot of people talk about Terrell Owens' history as a guy who's a head case, a guy who tends to have a few issues with his head coach and quarterbacks and stuff. No matter who the quarterback is, I think this is a situation that could benefit the team a little bit because the guy is 38 years old. He's basically saying, well, you know what? I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to help this team, put my ego aside. I'll be unselfish, whatever it is. Now, when he was in Cincinnati a couple years ago, he wasn't too bad. It actually worked out well for the most part. I will say that. I think that he showed people that he can be a good teammate. He can be a little unselfish. And playing with Chad Johnson, you know, I was kind of amazed at how the chemistry between the two of them was able to work. And both of them are pretty good friends. So you would think that it should work, and it has. It has. Now, speaking of Chad Johnson, this is the hot thing that everybody's talking about in football right now. As you know, he got into an altercation with his wife, who he just married not too long ago. Apparently, according to reports, he headbutted her, and as a result, he was taken away to jail, spent about a night or two there, and he got cut from the Miami Dolphins organization. Now, prior to this, Chad Johnson had never had any off-the-field related issues as far as being arrested or being confronted by police. He never had a criminal record as far as his football career is concerned, but you hate to see that happen to somebody. You hate to see that happen to anybody, really. And I just think about what this guy has accomplished, especially in his time in Cincy. I wonder, and a lot of people probably wonder if this is the end of his career. I think what could happen, because I still think he has maybe another year left in him, he might pull a Terrell Owens or a Randy Moss. Take the year off, get your ish together, do what you got to do, and then come back next year fresh. Stay in shape, continue to do the athletic training that you have been doing, and continue to keep yourself at that certain level. So that way, if or when you do come back, wherever team signs you and brings you in, you have a shot to compete. You have a shot to kind of redefine yourself just a little bit before you eventually do throw in the towel. But I think about what Chad Johnson has done throughout his career. He was always one of the most entertaining players I've ever seen, whether you like him or not. He was just phenomenal. I remember him best for the end zone celebrations. He was one of the greats, him and Owens both. I mean, they were just guys who were just so flat-out entertaining. And my favorite Chad Johnson celebration, bar none, it's got to be the River Dance because he looked so elegant when he did it. And if you get a chance, you can check it out on YouTube. I'm pretty sure somebody has the clip up on there. But it was just phenomenal, phenomenally hilarious, if that makes sense. It was hysterical. I really got a laugh out of that. I remember watching that game. It was back in 2005 against Chicago. He caught a touchdown despite being hurt. Did the river dance. It was just, it was a killer. It was a killer. The CPR and the football was great. The punting the football when he took off the goalpost on the sideline, that was pretty phenomenal. He's done so many. He's done so many. The proposal, the Hall of Fame jacket, and one in particular that I like, which is actually my second favorite. He did a sign. He posted a sign where it said, Dear NFL, please don't find me again. And sure enough, they find him the next day. That was absolutely hysterical. So you get a chance, you know, you can go on YouTube and check out some of Chad Johnson's end zone celebrations, and some of them should be up on there. But that Riverdance, that's the one you want to see. That's the one I highly recommend you go check out because it was absolutely hilarious. But, yeah, it's unfortunate that Chad Johnson's career, especially at, now that he's at the end of it, is like this right now. But what can you do? The best thing that he can do is pick himself up, learn from this, continue to do what he has to do to, well, maybe one day he can't come back and play for at least one more year. I would never officially rule out a guy that I think can play at least one more season. So I think he'll be back for one more year, and hopefully there won't be no drama-related issues. But you got to tip your hat off to Dolphins head coach Joe Philbin. He ain't playing. He ain't playing, and he certainly has a certain level of tolerance, and he's not taking any nonsense from players. Keep in mind, there was an incident before this where Chad Johnson had a situation where he was cussing in front of the media, and that didn't sit too well with his former head coach. And that's good. If you're Joe Philbin, you want to instill a certain level of festiveness into your team. You don't want to put up with nonsense or a certain amount of combustible elements. And right now, apparently, they seem to be having that right now because I don't see no egos on that team. I don't see a bunch of players going out and doing crazy things in front of the media or anything related to that. So tip your hat off to them. Tip your hat off to them. And despite the struggles of the organization right now, because I still think that they're going to struggle competing with the likes of New England, the Jets, and even Buffalo, you know, it is what it is. And keep in mind, this is the same team that traded former wide receiver Brandon Marshall, who also had off-the-field-related issues with his former female counterpart. So, yeah, say what you want about them. A lot of people felt like that was a mistake for them to do that. And I was kind of one of those people, but I understood why they did it. You know, Brandon Marshall had always been a head case. And I wonder if things are going to be like that in Chicago. But only one way to find out. Only one way to find out. And we'll know for sure this upcoming season. But it's unfortunate. But the best thing you can do if you're Chad Johnson is, again, pick yourself up. You live and you learn. That's all you can do. And you have to continue to do what you have to do. And, you know, as long as you keep yourself at a certain level, you have a chance to right your wrongs. You know, things can change and nothing stays the same forever. Now, speaking of football, you know, going back to rookie quarterbacks, I'm very happy with the way that guys like Andrew Luck, Robert Griffith III played, even Miami's Tannehill, he played good. He played pretty well. Brandon Whedon from the Cleveland Browns, I got a chance to watch him in the preseason game against Detroit this past weekend, and I was a little impressed. They apparently named him the starting quarterback. So if you're Colt McCoy, you're like, wow. Now, here's the thing about Colt McCoy. When he played in Texas, I'm thinking, okay, does this guy really have what it takes to make it on a professional level? He took a hit from Steelers linebacker James Harrison last month in that Thursday night game, and he suffered an apparent concussion, but he went back into the game and finished it. So I was like, okay, well, he's got a certain level of toughness, but he was taking a career risk. And, you know, with all the talk of the whole steroid issue going on right now, it's quite a serious situation, and it's serious to see a guy like that go out there and continue to play after taking such a big hit. Now, speaking of James Harrison, see, this whole speaking of thing is just really, really kicking in right now. James Harrison apparently is expected to get some arthroscopic surgery on his knee. Now, this is the same knee that had been bothering him throughout much of last year. Apparently, he hasn't had the surgery yet. And if you're a Steelers fan, you're wondering, well, why is it taking so long for him to go and get the surgery? Because eventually he's going to have to if he expects that knee of his to heal up and hold up. This guy is getting up there in age. So, you know, when you suffer certain injuries, you need to go and get yourself checked out as soon as possible because the Steelers are going to need him if that defense and if that team is expected to stay one of the elite and get back to the Super Bowl. They need him. They need him. They already had made a lot of cuts during the offseason, so they let a lot of players go. Hines Ward, he retired, officially threw in the towel. Their other wide receiver, Mike Wallace, is expected to come to camp soon, but they're still trying to work out their contract dispute. Now, if they don't re-sign him and get him in camp, they're going to be in deep trouble. That's all I can say. They don't have a lot of receivers on their depth chart who are capable of making a roster. I think they still have Antonio Bryant on their roster, but still, you need Mike Wallace. He's your go-to guy. He's your playmaking receiver. If you're Ben Roethlisberger, you got a new offensive coordinator in Ty Haley, who's the former head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. You need him, especially if you're adjusting to a new offensive playbook. You got to have your go-to guy because that helps. That takes pressure off of you because despite the new system, you can still trust them because you have such a great relationship. You have such great chemistry with the guy. I could just think about what the Steelers team is going to look like once the season starts. They open up the season against Denver. So right off the gate, we'll know what kind of team they're going to be. Yeah, it's only one game, but still, one game is very capable of determining how a season can go. A guy can get hurt, miss the rest of the year. A guy can work his way up into the starting lineup and be a guy that you can count on consistently. And next thing you know, he's off to the races, and your team plays better because of that. Another notable injury comes from Dallas, the Cowboys. Their tight end, Jason Witten, suffered a spleen injury in that preseason game Monday night against Oakland. Now, according to reports, he is expected to miss the rest of the preseason, and he's going to go through the surgical process. Now, I think that's a smart move because, for one, he's a starting tight end. I mean, he's not going to be replaced in that lineup. So why not get the surgery done? You're going to miss the rest of the preseason, and hopefully you'll get back in time to be ready for the start of the regular season because, again, you're going to be needed on that team. He is Romo's go-to guy, despite Dez Bryant, despite Miles Austin. But let's be honest, everyone knows that Tony Romo's favorite target is Jason Witten. And, you know, and that's good to have a tight end because a tight end can really take pressure off your receivers. And they got two receivers on the outside who are both good and both capable of making big plays. Dez Bryant needs to get his ish together. I know for sure that when you're a young player, you're going to go through some problems, you're going to go through some issues, but still, you got to stay level-headed, my friend. And you also got to understand that this is the NFL. It's do or die. I mean, just because you got talent don't always mean anything. You are capable of being cut as much as the next person. So you need to take care of yourself and make sure that whatever things go on, whenever certain issues come about, you got to make sure that you're doing your part to, you know, keep yourself at that certain level. Now, I know that a lot of these young players tend to go through some certain level of issues. They're going to go through some certain level of egotistical moments, and it's like, okay, well, these players and these athletes have their struggles. Now, let's be honest. I've witnessed certain level players having certain levels of ego. It's nice to see guys like Andrew Luck stay level-headed, Robert Griffin III stay level-headed, Brandon Wheaton stay level-headed. I know Trent Richardson hasn't played yet, and he probably won't play at all this preseason, but he's staying level-headed. You got to remain focused and understand that a coach, general manager, and even an owner brings you in not just because of your talent, but because of your personality. Most of the time, you make the roster because of that. And you have to remember that you have a certain level of responsibility. These guys look at you, They want you to be a role model for the young fans out there, for the community. They want you to, you know, have a certain sense of mind and a sense of resiliency to where you have to be the person that they expect you to be, because most guys are capable of being replaced. And you have to remember that when they bring you in, you got to, right off the bat, do what you need to do to better yourself, not just your talents, but who you are as a person, as an individual and your personality, because you're counting on for so many things, so many things. And I expect the Colts to count on Andrew Luck a whole lot, the Redskins with RG3, and the Browns with Brandon Wheaton and Trent Richardson. That's a team that looks like they're going to compete in the future, so we'll see what happens. Nobody expected last year's rookie quarterback, Andrew Dalton, from the Bengals to be where he is. And I want to apologize to the Bengals organization. If I didn't do it before, I'm going to do it again. I apologize. I remember they had a preseason game against Detroit, and I said that they were going to look like the worst team of the season, and they weren't. They were nowhere near the worst. They competed. They really, really competed. I might have apologized on last week's show, but I want to apologize again. They were better than I expected, and they had a rookie quarterback and a rookie wide receiver develop great chemistry right off the bat. So I want to say my apologies to Andy Dalton and the Cincinnati Bengals organization. Now, with all the players and teams who change uniforms during the offseason, it just seems like now it's time to really get your competitive juices flowing. I love the thrill of a competition, and I can be the first to tell you that when these players come to these teams and they sign these contracts and players get traded, players get drafted, players get re-signed, it's like, yes, this is what we've been waiting for. The regular season's right around the corner. We got 3 weeks left of the preseason, and I've been impressed with a lot of these rookie players, and it's just so good to see football again. And it was so good to see an off season. We didn't have an off season last year. We didn't have much of it, that's for sure. But it was so good to see this now. And if you're a big football fan like me, you cannot wait until the regular season kicks off and who's going to make the team. And usually the first preseason game usually determines that. Now, the second preseason game, you're going to get a chance to see more of these players, get some extended playing time. Usually the second preseason game and then the fourth preseason game, because after the fourth preseason game is when the final cuts are being made. Now, I know for sure that if you're a certain player who hasn't seen the field much, this is your time. This is the most important time for you. So that being said, remember, this is your time to do what you have to do, and this is your time to make the best of your opportunities. And rest assured, all luck is on your side. This is your responsibility. This is your responsibility. So, again, good luck and congratulations to all these players who are on these teams right now. If you haven't gotten cut yet, consider yourself fortunate because, again, we still got 3 weeks left of the preseason, and anything can happen to anyone at any time. To the NBA, well, I knew this was going to happen. I told everybody on Facebook that this was going to happen. I said, it's going to take some time, and it's going to take some patience, but I knew this was coming. It's official. Dwight Howard is a Los Angeles Laker, and I knew that this trade was going to happen just for the simple fact that L.A. is one of those teams that they won't hesitate to make certain moves to better their organization, even if they have to part with a certain player. Now, keep in mind that Dwight Howard, during last year's All-Star break, told Kobe Bryant reportedly to his face that he didn't want to play second fiddle to him. Now, if I'm Kobe Bryant, I don't necessarily want to take that as an insult, because here's the thing. If you're Dwight Howard, you come to the Lakers, you're going to be the second fiddle whether you like it or not. You're going to be the second option. As long as Kobe Bryant is wearing a Lakers uniform, he will always be L.A.'s number one. That's just the way it is. That's the way it's going to be until he eventually hangs it up. So if you're Dwight Howard, you just need to play hard, work on that ego and that attitude of yours, and remember, you get a chance to win some championship rings and really establish yourself as one of the greatest of all time. If I'm him, I'm jumping all over the opportunity. seriously. You got to remember that they were willing to trade for you despite you saying what you said because they feel like you are the missing piece to them capturing another ring. So why not make the best of the opportunity while you have that opportunity? So believe that. Believe that. And I promise you that you will have a chance to really, really, really get better, and you will see yourself elevate to a level where, you know, whatever you didn't get in Orlando, you have a chance to get in L.A. Now, keep in mind, Dwight Howard was in the finals in 2009 against the Lakers, and a lot of people was wondering, well, does Dwight Howard have enough support around him to win a championship in Orlando? I kind of felt that Orlando got a little lucky along the way, especially beating Boston because Kevin Garnett was out of the lineup throughout the series, and it took them about 6 or 7 games to beat them. And then in Cleveland, I felt like that pick and roll is really what hurt Cleveland the most. And you saw Cleveland's weaknesses exposed in that conference finals matchup alone. When they got to the finals against the Lakers, I kind of felt like they were a little bit lucky just to be there. But, you know, it was Hollywood versus Disneyland. So take it for what it's worth. It was certainly great ratings. And if you're David Stern, you should appreciate that. He certainly seems to appreciate those things as opposed to officiating and stuff like that. To me, it's still a conspiracy out there, and you can hate on me for it, but believe me, I just feel like it's you know, it is what it is, and, you know, call it what you want. Call it what you want, but everyone knows the truth, and that's a shame. That's a shame because it just goes back to the finals back in 2005 when the Pistons played the Spurs. The average amount of viewers was one of the lowest ranked in the last 20 years. And since then, if you haven't noticed, from 2006 now, every team, at least one of those teams, had a superstar player that people loved watching. In 06, it was Wade and Shaq against Dirk. In 07, it was LeBron James. In 08, it was Kobe versus Boston's Big Three. In 09, it was Kobe versus Dwight Howard. 2010, Lakers and Celtics again. And then last year, it was Dirk against Miami's Big Three. And this year, Miami's Big Three against OKC's Big Three. I hate it when it comes down to that. I always feel like the best team should get there because of the level of play, not because of who they are. And it's a shame that a guy like David Stern can't appreciate something like that. It's a shame. It's a shame. But what can you do? If you're a fan like me, you can just take it and that's it. That's it. Time is after 7:30. Taking calls at 343-327-9586. Tonight's topic, we're going to talk about the best and worst logos and uniforms in sports history. This should be a fun topic, and And I say that because there have been a lot of good-looking uniforms I've seen over the years in a lot of different sports, but there have also been a lot of hideous-looking uniforms and a lot of hideous-looking logos. I've seen teams switch logos from something good-looking to something bad-looking, and it just makes me cringe. And I also have seen certain teams really better their logos. I'm not going to say who those teams are. We are going to discuss that at the top of the hour at 8 o'clock. So, yeah, that topic's going to be a half hour away, and I'm looking forward to having some fun with that. I'm looking forward to just doing it. But back to this Lakers trade real quickly. As you know, it was a 4-team trade involving L.A., Orlando, the Denver Nuggets, and the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, L.A., they get Dwight Howard. Orlando, they get about a good amount of 5 to 6 players who a lot of people feel like are going to really, really, really help them out a lot. Basically, it was a 4-team, 12-player deal. This was one of those trades where it was a big blockbuster deal, and, yeah, it was a big deal. It was a big trade, and basically Andrew Bynum was the one who got let go from L.A. He's going to Philadelphia. Andre Iguodala is leaving Philadelphia, and I kind of had a feeling he would. I felt like the Sixers would trade him at some point because he has been, for the past 2 years, in talks of one of the trade baits in the NBA, and officially it's happened. He's going to Denver. That should be interesting for him. Some of the players going to Orlando include Al Harrington and Aaron Aflalo, who both played in Denver. So a lot of people feel like L.A. got the best deal because they get Dwight Howard. He was the best player involved in this whole trade. I think Philadelphia getting Andrew Bynum was pretty good, too, because now you got a big man. And if you're Miami, if you're Boston, if you're Chicago, you got to contend with Andrew Bynum in the Eastern Conference now, and that's not going to be easy. So if you're the defending champion Heat, you should be a little worried. Keep in mind, this Sixers team still has some good talent. They still got some good young athletic players. Some people say that they're the most athletic team in the NBA, which rightfully so. They can state that. They're certainly one of the top three teams. Getting Andrew Bynum helps because now you got a dominant big man who can post, who's got a good hook shot, who can catch the ball down under, can get to the basket, and, you know, because of his size, he has such a great advantage over, you know, the smaller guys who are guarding him. So, again, if you're Miami, you're Boston, if you're Chicago, you should be worried because you got to contend with this guy now at least for 1 year, and that's not going to be easy. And the Sixers team, they've kind of established themselves as one of the upcoming teams in the Eastern Conference. You know, with all the veterans on Boston's team, with some of the veterans that Chicago has, with some of the veterans that Miami has, the Sixers look like a team that they're really going to compete in the future. And I tip my hat off to head coach Doug Collins, who took the job a year ago and really made this team better and much more athletic and made them a better team. So I tip my hat off to him. And I remember when he used to coach the Pistons and when he used to coach the Wizards with Michael Jordan playing there. And I wondered that, you know, he didn't have great stints there, especially in Washington because he never got them to the postseason. But I always thought that Doug Collins was a good head coach. He is a good guy, and he's a guy that can coach a team to its best potential. So that being said, I got to say congratulations to him being back as a head coach again, and hopefully he'll make the Sixers team a championship contending team. That remains to be seen, and maybe another 2 or 3 years this team will really, really make some serious noise. But believe me, I still feel like if Derrick Rose hadn't been injured in that first-round matchup last year, Philadelphia would not have gotten out of the first round. They probably would have lost the game in maybe 4 or 5. But, you know, some of the notable players who were injured, Derrick Rose in Chicago, Dwight Howard in Orlando, the teams who beat them, Indiana and Philadelphia, were lucky. They were lucky. And looks like Indiana's not going to have their big man. Roy Hibbert apparently is now a Portland Trailblazer. Ouch. Ouch. That's got to hurt Indiana because keep in mind, when you went up against Miami, you had some straight confidence. And after the first three games, when Indiana took that 2-1 series lead, a lot of people felt like, okay, yes, this team, they look confident. They look confident. And you saw that in their play. You saw that in their play. And it was interesting to see that, too. But losing your big man really hurts because the guy is 7'2". I mean, that hurts a lot. So now you're really going to really have to establish play from the other players, and now you're going to have to be more of a up-tempo, more fast-paced team that has a lot of these quicker players who can get to the basket and create their own shots and, you know, work with who you got. But that's a big loss for Indiana. One other thing, with some of these other rookies signing their contracts, it's been nice to see some of these players in the summer league really, really step their games up and do some big things and do some wonderful things. Again, I think about what these players are doing. I think about what these guys are very capable of doing. And some of these players who switch these teams, what can they bring to this organization? What can they bring to the head coaches? What can they bring to the players? It's always interesting to see that. So I'm interested to see what Dwight Howard is going to do in L.A. I'm interested to see what Andrew Bynum is going to do in Philadelphia. I'm very interested to see what Andre Iguodala is going to do in Denver. It should be very interesting. It should be a very interesting upcoming season. And all the NBA head coaching vacancies have been filled. So unless somebody gets fired, it looks like all the teams are going to go into this upcoming season with their head coaches. And now that the Olympics are over, these guys are getting ready to come back home, and some of them are probably going to spend time with their families. Some of these players are going to get right back to getting themselves built up and ready for the season. because the preseason is expected to start in early October, and it's going to be very interesting to see what these teams do. I think for sure it's safe to say that we could talk about L.A. definitely being back up there as a finals competing team. Now that they got Steve Nash and they made a few other notable moves, if you're Kobe Bryant, you should be ecstatic. Anything beyond ecstatic, you should be. And so take that for what it's worth and continue to do what you need to do as the leader, as the captain of the team. And when Steve Nash and Dwight Howard get ready to take the court with you, it's time to develop that chemistry and do what needs to be done. So I can't wait to see what these guys are going to do. I really can't wait. This is what they do. This is what they do, and yeah, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. So again, congratulations to all these guys, and congratulations to Usain Bolt for doing what he needs to be done. I mean, not everybody likes the guy, not everybody is too fond of him, but you cannot deny talent. You cannot deny what the guy has been doing, and I said the same thing about LeBron James. I was never a big LeBron James fan, but you know, I tip my hat off to him for what he did. You know, I appreciate what he was finally able to do. But you know, it is what it is. But anyway, congratulations to Usain Bolt. And I got a funny story to tell you a little bit. Okay. Earlier today, I was reading an article on one of Michigan sports websites, and Denard Robinson, who is the University of Michigan starting quarterback, well, it remains to be seen if he'll be a quarterback going into the NFL. He reportedly said that he could beat Usain Bolt in a foot race. Let me tell you something. I want to see that. I'll place my whole paycheck on that. I'll be the guy in the corner taking bets. You know what I'm saying? Show me the money. You know what I'm saying? I want to see that. I want to see that. That is going to be very, very, very interesting. Don't get me wrong. Denard Robinson can run. He's arguably the fastest player in college football right now. But, boy, I want to see that. I want to see that tremendously. I mean, let me know what's up. Let me know what's up. Again, Denard Robinson, if you're him, you need to work on your running a little bit then. You know, get fast. I mean, you're fast, but you can always get faster, dude. You know, even Usain Bolt can be faster than he is, you know. He ain't no superhuman. So, you know, if you're going to talk, you better be ready to back it up. Better be ready to back it up. Now, speaking of Denard Robinson, expectations are going to continue to be high on him during the upcoming NCAA season. Now, there's certainly going to be talks about him in Hall of Fame status. If there wasn't before, there certainly is now. I just think about what these guys do and, you know, how well they do as far as, you know, their talents and what they can bring to the table. A lot of people wonder if Denard Robinson is going to be a quarterback when he gets drafted. Well, I don't know. I'm not going to sit back and say that this guy is automatically going to be a quarterback. I really think that they should switch him to runner because he just looks so explosive from like a tailback standpoint. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I mean, my thing is, look, if Tim Tebow can come out of NCAA and come into the NFL as a quarterback, then perhaps they can do the same thing for Denard Robinson. But that remains to be seen. That remains to be seen. And any team that does take him in and utilizes his skills, you're going to have some interesting amount of talent to work with. So I'm anxious to see how this whole thing is going to work out. I'm anxious to see how all of this is really, really going to come about. I just know that for sure he's got his work cut out for him still, no matter what happens with his careers. So yeah, be that as it may, be that as it may, and, you know, do whatever needs to be done, and this should be fun, and I can't wait to see I can't wait to see what this team is going to do. I can't wait to see what a lot of these teams are going to do. LSU, Texas, TCU, even Boise State, some of these teams, I want to know what they're going to do and what they're going to bring to the table and, just what type of players are going to step up into the equation now that some of the guys are who were there last year are no longer there, and why some of the players are, doing what they need to do. Now, remember, expectations continue to be high on a lot of these players. And when they do get drafted into the pros, you wonder what they're going to do when they get there and how they're going to do it. So let's see. Let's see what happens. And, again, I can't wait to I can't wait to see what these guys are going to bring to the table. And, it should be fun. It should be fun. And, we will see what they can do. We will see what they can do. Again, the time is about 7:45. About 7:45. I'm taking calls all night, 347-327-9586. Tonight's topic is going to be the best and worst looking uniforms and logos in sports history. And when we talk fashion statements, you got to go back all the way to like the 1940s and 50s if you want to go back that far. I might even take it a step bit further. So get ready for a power trip. Now, keep in mind, when I say best and worst logos, I mean, it doesn't have to be pros. It can be collegiate. High school, I don't necessarily recommend it. But, it is what it is. You know, it is what it is. And, But let's not go too far into it. When I say the best and worst, I'm talking from a professional and from a collegiate standpoint. Because let's be honest, a lot of these high school uniforms are so ordinary, so disoriented, whatever you want to call it. It's not about fashion statements when it comes to high school. And even at college, there's no necessarily such thing as a fashion statement. But in the pros, oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. This topic is really going to hit close to home, so we're going to have some fun. And I can't wait to see the amount of responses I get. And, if you got some that you want to chime in on, please feel free to do so. I take any and all comers. So bring it on. Show Rocket what you got, and we're going to have some fun with it. Also, another thing. If you're really, really devoted to your hometown teams like I am, if you're the Detroit Lions, real quickly, let's say, for example, I want to give a quick heads up, shout out, whatever, to rookie cornerback Bill Bentley, who a lot of people are really going to be anticipating should be a very, very good corner as his career begins and progresses on a professional level. He played pretty well against Cleveland on Friday. I was amazed. He gave up a couple passes. He kind of had his struggles at first, but he worked his way up. So he got better as the game went on, and I was happy with the way he played. But he can be better. He can be better. And if you're a fan like me, you want to see more, you want to see better. So, again, big ups to him. Javon Best, he's going to be on a PUP list when the season starts because of his concussion situation. Now, when you get put on a PUP list, basically you're inactive for the first 6 weeks of the season, so that's going to hurt. But we got Kevin Smith, they got Cleveland Williams, and both those guys play pretty well. Mikel LeSure, he'll be back after the first two games due to his suspension, so we'll see what happens with the running game and how they're going to work the whole running game situation. But either way you look at it, some of these running backs are going to get a chance to work their way into the roster, at least for now anyway. So I'm anxious to see what's going to happen, and I can't wait. I can't wait. Also, the Green Bay Packers recently brought in Cedric Benson. This is a Packers team like Detroit. They don't really run the football. Not saying that they can't. They just don't. They rely more on a passing game to put up points, which is why Aaron Rodgers and Matthew Stafford put up so many big numbers last year. New Orleans, Drew Brees, same thing. Tom Brady in New England, same thing. It is a pass-happy league. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. That's just the way it is. Be that as it may, Cedric Benson, a lot of people have labeled him as a potential bust. A lot of people feel like he is one of the worst first-round picks in history. A lot of people feel like he never lived up to expectations. When he first got drafted by Chicago, he was splitting carries with Thomas Jones, who was one of the better running backs in the game, one of the quite explosive running backs. I just remember them splitting carries to where one guy would get 10 to 15, another guy would get 10 to 15. And I just think about their struggles and things of that nature. Now, I will say from a certain standpoint, he has a chance to contribute in this offense. Anytime you're a free agent player, no matter what your age is, no matter what your experience level is, when you get a chance to come into the NFL and when a team brings you in, especially an elite team like the Packers, you have a chance to really, really contribute and do some things that they apparently believe in you to do. So if you're the Packers and if you're Cedric Benson, help each other out. See what you can do. See what you can bring to the table. And good luck. Good luck to both parties. Good luck to both parties. You know, I'm interested to see on what he's going to do in this rotation. I'm anxious to see what he's going to do in Green Bay's system. So, yeah, let's have some fun. And, you know, we're gonna enjoy this. And, you know, I'm going to enjoy the football season, period. I want to say good luck to all your teams. You've heard me say this before, and you're going to hear me say it again. It's going to be a big season of many expectations. And so far, the preseason has gotten off to a relatively good start. So this should be fun. This should be fun. And I can't wait. I can't wait to see what these teams are going to do. I can't wait to see what these players and what these coaches are going to do. We're almost at the top of the hour, 8 o'clock. I can't wait to this topic. I'm going to have some fun with this topic. I know you're going to enjoy it. So, please, you know, allow me to bring some expertise on some of these interesting uniforms, good and bad, that we have witnessed over the years. And most of them are from the NFL, believe it or not. Most of them are from the NFL. Most of them are from the NBA, because let's be honest, the NFL and NBA, when it comes to uniforms, they have an extreme certain level of fashion statements, if you know what I mean, especially with the uniform changes we have seen drastically with a lot of these teams over the years. It has just been ridiculously insane, and I can't wait to see what these teams are going to do. And rest assured, you are going to see, you're going to hear me talk about some teams that you probably will be expecting. So get ready for a power trip, y'all. Get ready for a power trip. I want to take the time real quickly to go off topic real quick and say congratulations to the cast members of the film Why Do Men Cheat that premiered last weekend. I said it before, I'm going to say it again. I want to send a big shout-out to my castmates of the stage play A Different Shade of Blue. I want to send a special shout-out to Jennifer Blue, who I just think is so, so wonderful. I love her. I think she's amazing. She is just such a very, very great individual, and I couldn't be more happy to work with you in this upcoming stage play. So, Jennifer, if you're watching, if you're listening, thank you. Thank you so much for allowing me to come in and contribute. And, again, I appreciate it, and thank you for your time. Thank you. To my upcoming castmates of my film, Love Has a Mind of Its Own, I'm looking forward to shooting with some of you guys this weekend. I can't wait to allow myself to work my talents with you guys and allow yourself to work your talents with me. Thank you for showing interest in my project and kind of seeing my vision that I got going on. So to Mr. X, known to many as Andre Harris, to my big brother Giles Key, Deion Robinson, to all my castmates and crew, especially my girl Noelle Fry, known to many people now as Lady Rocky, I want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And to my castmates of The Goblin Lady, castmates, crew, guys, we are doing a phenomenal job with this film, and I cannot wait until it's completed. I can't wait till it comes out. We are going to have some fun with this project. We are just going to knock it out and just do what we got to do. Well, Rocket Nation, getting ready to take a quick break. This is going to be the first time we take a break on this show during the middle of it. Believe me, it helps. It helps a lot. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. We're going to start with the topic at the top of the hour. So bear with me, and we're going to get ready to have some fun. So Rockin' Nation, get ready for a power trip. We'll be right back.
Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
No better than this. You catch my drip, you get stripped by Paul Hellers, who by Swag Hammer. Danger, you dealing with official hoop bangers with hang time like a coat hanger. Jump with thunderous 360 degree tight dunks. What up, Dr. Monster Funk?
Lightning strikes, the court lights get dim. Supreme competition is about to begin. Above the rim, finessing it, moves is animated. Once I get the ball in, I can't be deflated. A rugged par, my monsters is getting money. We click, hit the bugging, I'm snatching up their bunnies. Every step I take shakes the ground. I make you break your ankle, son, shake you down. This is my planet, about business, the best that ever done it. Can I get a witness? A cumulus cloud brings darkness up above. You in it for the money, or in it for the love, MJ? 23 ways to make a pay. Lounging in the mothership, back around my way. A 28 light years old. If the rep get political, dribble like Bob Dole. Am I getting lyrical? Daddy, I think so. Monster, drop a flavor, fluid, so free floating.
Our main event topic begins. I'm taking calls at 347-327-9586. And I came up with this topic about a week ago after my previous show had ended. I wanted to kind of step outside the box a little bit, where it doesn't have to be certain level of sports news all the time and, you know, things of that nature. My whole intent was to give you a little something different as opposed to what most sports shows do. Some sports shows, it's the same thing every weekend. I kind of like to be the guy that likes to step outside the box and do something different, do something more challenging, do something completely out of the ordinary. And believe me when I say this, it wasn't easy coming up with a lot of these topics. It really wasn't. I just think about what the local station I listen to here in Michigan, 97.1, they do things quite differently, and I think it's very, very entertaining. So I kind of wanted to do something like that. And being a former student of Spex Howard School of Broadcast Media Arts, I got a chance to really, really showcase my entertainment skills to a point where I can do something different and I can be fun and have fun despite hard working and, you know, do all those things at the same time. This is one of those topics. So with that being said, when I think about good-looking sports uniforms, I just think about, you know, a lot of these good uniforms that some of these teams look like they spent a lot of time putting together as opposed to just throwing something on and going out there and playing a ball game or something. It's like, okay, well, what is going on here? Now, I'm going to do things a little differently here, okay? I'm going to start with one particular sports subject, and we're just going to and feed off of that. So with that in mind, I'm going to start with the NBA uniforms. Now, over the years, since the late 90s, we have seen numerous teams change their uniforms. Some uniforms have stayed the same, like the Lakers uniforms have pretty much stayed the same. The Celtics uniforms have pretty much stayed the same, except they added a little bit of black outlining on their team name and team number, so they kind of advanced a little bit, which I think was good. I think that was good for them to do that. Well, basically, Miami's uniform has just been about the same since, you know, the late, maybe the early 2000s. Their uniforms are okay. I'm a big fan of Denver's powder blue. I love the Denver Nuggets powder blue. I love it compared to what it used to be before when it was the dark blue, the real dark blue, and then they had the white jerseys for at home. I love the powder blue. Love it. And I love their logo. I love what they've done with their sports arena. It's one of the best-looking uniforms in the NBA. So I got to give them a thumbs up. So congratulations to Denver for making the Rocket fashion list. So I know I'm just playing about the whole fashion thing. The Phoenix Suns, I remember what their uniforms used to look like during the late 90s, and I just remember, well, actually during the 90s period back when they had Kevin Johnson and Charles Barkley and, you know, when they had Jason Kidd. And this was way before they brought in Steve Nash and around the time where I think they drafted Amari Stoudemire in 2002. They had changed their uniforms slightly, not much. I like the old logo a lot better. I like the sun part on their uniform. It really, really made their uniforms look good. The Atlanta Hawks. Y'all remember what their uniforms used to look like during the late 90s when they had the Hawk going down the side of the jersey. I loved it. Loved it. I thought that was perfection. I thought that made their jersey look so excellent. So excellent looking. But I really don't care for what their jerseys look like now. It's just so plain. You know what I'm saying? It's like a lot of these NBA teams have gone from like what their uniforms used to really look like, what their logos in terms of awesomeness, to just regular old plain. Some of the teams like the Pistons, Rockets, the Raptors, the Magic, just so many. Now, the Chicago Bulls have always kept their uniforms the same. Golden State, they kind of went back to the old school a little bit. Cleveland, I like what their logos looked like when LeBron James was there. I didn't like their uniforms during the 90s. I hated them, especially when they had Sean Kemp around that time, around that era when he was on that team, and they had Bob Sura and Brevin Knight, and I just wasn't feeling it. I'm sorry. Hate on me if you want to. I was not feeling that uniform. But I would tell you this, though. some of those logos that you saw during the 90s were just so nice looking, but that necessarily didn't mean that the uniform color wasn't looking good. Like the Pistons, for example. I loved the logo when it had the Pistons name and then it had the horse over it, but I hated those teal uniforms, turquoise, blue, whatever color you want to call it. I hated those, the colored uniforms, but I love the logos. I wish they go back to them, but kind of keep the uniform the way it is now, because I've always been a big fan of the red, white, and blue. So call it what you want, but believe me, I miss the old logo, but I don't miss the old uniform. We actually have a caller, and I'm pretty sure I know who this is, 313-790-6074. Speak now, forever hold your peace.
Hello?
Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, what's going on, fam? How you doing, man?
One of my favorite customers. How are you?
Yes, sir. I cannot complain. Just got a little bit of time off on the plantation, so I figured I'd go ahead and call. I hear you're talking about horrible-ass uniforms.
Yeah, good-looking and bad-looking uniforms from basically all the major sports. I was just talking about a few of them. And I go back to the late 90s, back when teams used to have some really good-looking logos and how they kind of switch from the awesomeness to, like, the just regular old plain uniforms. But you got a few, if you got any, what do you think of?
Well, I'll tell you this. In terms of bad uniforms, in the NFL, there are no worse uniforms than the Buffalo Bills. Those uniforms
are putrid.
Oh, my God. I don't know what the hell they thinking of with them ugly-ass uniforms.
I don't really like that logo. I mean, I know they had a logo like that back when O.J. Simpson was playing, but rest assured, you and I both can probably agree that now that O.J. Simpson is currently not free anymore, maybe they should change those uniforms now.
Change the uniforms, the logo.
Yes, yes. You know, remember when they had Drew Bledsoe as their quarterback, like in the early 2000s,
yes,
when they had the dark blue and, you know, the white
sleeves
and stuff? I miss that uniform. I just never liked
Buffalo's uniforms, period. Ugh.
Just like their uniforms during the 90s are better than what they got now. I mean, damn. I mean, we're living in a more media-infested world, and you're going to go out and wear that uniform? I mean, they better play good. This is the same team that won four straight Super Bowls. Maybe they lost those four Super Bowls because of the uniforms. Who knows?
But I'm going to tell you, though, one of my favorite uniforms in the NFL, I may be in the minority, but I love the Tampa Bay Buccaneers uniform. I love the color. I love the logo. I just love that whole design. My opinion, uniforms in the NFL.
That's at the top of the list. That's one of the uniforms at the top of the list, to be honest with you. It's a lot better than what they had before. No wonder they lost 26 games.
Saying that ugly-ass orange and garbage-ass pirate.
With the wink and he had the sword in his mouth. Where did they come up with that? Looked like a bunch of popsicles taking the field, man. I was not feeling that, seriously.
Not at all. Those were horrible.
No wonder they lost their first 26 games. I mean, ugh.
And I'm going to tell you right there, I know you said you didn't like the Pistons uniform with the teal. Hey, have a good one. But I love those uniforms. I love them. And then think about
you
it.
Like
when
that
we
color?
Had those uniforms, I did. I love the
era.
Whole color scheme. I
you
love
like
the
that
look. I love the logo. You say what?
Wow. You like that the uniform from the Grant Hill era when they had Stackhouse and you like that? You like the color uniform?
I love those uniforms. I love the logo because it was something different. I never liked that old classic Detroit Pistons uniforms. I never liked it. But when they came out with that
boy era
uniform,
I love the logo. Don't get me wrong. I love the logo. I just didn't like that teal color blue. And then when they brought in those red jerseys, and I think in 1999, I just was not feeling that color. But if they take the logo from then and use it with the uniforms they got now, they have something to work with. Because for a while, they kind of had something like that, but it wasn't on the jerseys. They always had it like as still their team logo. I wish they go back to it. Because what he got now is too reminiscent of the old school Bad Boy eras. You know, it's like what I was talking about. You know, a lot of these teams kind of switching back to the old school uniforms. It's different than what their uniforms used to look like. I mean, I don't know. I just like that old logo a lot better than what they have now. And, you know, I've never been a one to judge a team by its uniforms. But since we're on the topic, I mean, why not? You know what I'm saying?
I feel you. And you know what? The funny thing is, in terms of the NBA, there are some jerseys that I like, but I think the majority of them are just like, ugh. They're just bland.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
just ugh.
Because like I was saying, you remember what the Rockets uniform, what the Rockets logo used to look like? You know, you remember what the Raptors uniform, their logo used to look like when they had the Raptor on the cover? And who else had a good-looking uniform? I just said it earlier, the Atlanta Hawks. Their logo.
I wasn't a big fan of the Atlanta Hawks, their logo and their whole jersey. I didn't like the colors, and I never liked their jerseys. I didn't like anything about them. Players I like, but the jerseys.
I liked it 100 times better than they have now. I just like that hawk going down the side of the jersey. I thought that was pretty creative of them to do something like that. And I remember Milwaukee used to do something like that, too. To be honest with you, I like Milwaukee's uniforms better, but if they had, like, any reminiscent of, like, the deer symbol with what they got now, maybe they'd be on to something a little bit. It's like some of these teams, what they've done when they used to have, like, actual symbols on their jerseys, they should kind of go back to doing that a little bit with their uniforms now. But
they're talking about having advertisement. Having ads on their damn jerseys now, having sponsors on the jerseys now. That's what they're talking about.
How interesting is that going to be? How interesting is that going to be where you're going to have, you know, your company ads or whatever on your jerseys? Ooh, that's going to be interesting. That is going to be interesting.
Yes, indeed.
But I'll tell you this, though. I was saying this earlier. I love Denver's uniforms. I like... I kind of like what the Grizzlies have done, but I liked it, to be honest with you, when they played in Vancouver, I liked that symbol, you know, with the grizzly bear.
With the grizzly and the basketball on it, yeah.
I like that. I don't miss the colors, but I miss that logo. Kind of like the Pistons, same thing.
Yeah. And I had a Vancouver jersey back in the day. I think I had who was it? I forgot who was there on their first draft pick, Stoudemire or something like that. I had his jersey for a hot little second just because I like the colors on it. But the team was horrible. But the uniforms were nice.
Yeah,
And I'm going to tell you something, switching sports right quick, the most hideous uniforms in college damn football go to the Maryland Terrapins and the Oregon Ducks. Those uniforms are horrible.
Yes, yes, yes.
Horrible.
I remember they had a game against Michigan at the Big House, and I remember watching it because it came on national television, obviously. Other than that, I never really got a chance to see an Oregon game, and I was just appalled, not only because Michigan was losing that game, but because of Oregon's jerseys, and that didn't help at all. And I'm like, man.
Horrible jerseys.
And I remember when Joey Harrington was their quarterback up there, I'm like, ugh, they better not draft that guy. And guess what? They did.
When they drafted him, I said, damn, they fucked up.
Right. And Orlando, they doing that with their uniforms. They whatever they need to do, they need to change it up. Seriously. I mean, they look like a bunch of ugly ducklings. And I use that term extremely heavily.
You ain't never lying. But,
now,
of course, we all know that the best, I was going to say, you know the best uniforms ever are the L.A. Lakers, right? Just want to let you know. Either be purple
you know
or gold or gold
really
on purple.
They never switched their uniforms. They never switched them. They've always kept it the same, especially since moving to Los Angeles. I think their uniforms used to look different when they played in Minneapolis. Like if I
it was more of a powder blue kind of color.
Yeah, back then a lot of teams used to do the powder blue, and I like what teams are doing now, bringing back the powder blue, you know, uniforms to the equation and everything. I like it.
Oh yeah.
The one uniform
in
the NBA I do not miss is the old Cleveland uniforms when they used to go by the Cavs on their jerseys. Back when they had Sean Kemp and Bob Sir and Brevin Knight and Junis Ogasi. I hated that uniform.
Yeah.
Hated it.
Those uniforms were hideous.
No wonder they couldn't win. And to be honest with you, I like the uniforms during the LeBron era. I like those uniforms better than what they had then and what they have now.
Oh yeah, those uniforms are great. Oh yeah, those uniforms are dope.
You remember the Seattle?
Yeah, those uniforms are dope.
Remember the Seattle Supersonic when they had their uniforms when they changed up to like the late 90s when they had the darker green. I like that. That's another team
I forgot. Yeah, had the space needle on it. Have a great one.
Yeah,
space needle on the front of it. Yeah, those were dope. Dope.
And then when they brought in Ray Allen in that trade, they changed it back. They went back to the old school again.
Nasty green, and it had Seattle and yellow going on in the middle.
I didn't like that. I was not feeling that at all. Now,
and you know
what?
I don't like the Charlotte Bobcats jerseys. Their jerseys are horrible.
Oh, I never liked those. Never.
Horrible.
Never really cared for them. And I was saying earlier, I miss what the Phoenix Suns uniform used to look like when they had the sun on the jersey. I thought that was pretty dope.
Yeah.
That was pretty nice.
Yeah. I can't stand their uniforms, I don't like them.
I even miss Orlando's old uniforms when they had the magic with the symbols on there. I thought that was pretty dope. And
they
now
look better than what they got now. Them uniforms Orlando got now, horrible.
It's too plain looking compared to what it looked like before. Way too
plain. And then
plain.
It looked like damn spandex. You see how damn Dwight Howard got his little spandex uniform on and shit? You can see his damn heartbeat. And I'm like, what the fuck? No. What the fuck? I swear these NBA uniforms turning into Under Armour uniforms and shit. I'm like, what?
Right. Like nobody wants to see your pulse, dude. Nobody wants to see your pulse or your nipples or anything. Come on,
you know? Motherfuckers wearing spandex jerseys and spandex motherfucking shorts. I'm like, what the hell is your problem? Big 7 foot, 300-pound motherfucking some spandex down. So get the hell up out of here with that
right. I'll tell you one of the other worst uniforms I've ever seen, the Washington Bullets. I hated the
horrible
team name, and I hated the team logo. I'm so glad they changed it. But I don't like what the Wizards uniforms look like now. I missed it when they had the Wizards symbol and, you know, the darker blue. And even the gold jerseys look much more dope compared to today. I mean, it's like they went back to the Bullets all over again, but they're still going by the Wizards. Damn, just hideous, man, just hideous. Makes me want to puke.
You ain't never lying.
And and like I was talking about earlier, it's just so crazy how a lot of these NBA teams have gone from interesting fashion statements to just, you know, regular plain jerseys now compared to what they had back in the day. It's just times have changed, all right. They certainly have changed.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
now,
sir, they have.
Now, in football, I'm a jump ship a little bit. I remember when Denver changed their uniforms in 97, around the same time that Tampa Bay changed theirs, and I thought that was an upgrade. I actually think that the horse logo looks much more intimidating than what they had before. And believe
the
it or
Denver
not,
Broncos
that's when they started winning Super Bowls. That's when they started winning the Super Bowl.
Yep, change the uniform, get to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Change their uniform, get to the Super Bowl.
Right, because, you know, they lost four of them before, and then they had two of them, you know, at the when they first started wearing their new uniforms. Wow.
Yep.
Wow. Sometimes newer uniforms just helps. It just helps.
And
it just helps.
And to be honest with you, I love Denver's uniforms. Let's see, their home uniforms, the blue and orange. Oh, with the short stripe on the side, that shit is dope as all hell. I love that uniform.
It is, isn't it? I love that symbol.
Love them.
That logo is one of the best-looking logos in football history. You cannot deny that. Even,
you know what I'm saying, next to the iconic Dallas Star. Take care.
Right.
You can't forget about the Dallas Star, baby.
Hey, y'all had the same uniform since 1960. Are you kidding?
Hey, check this out, though. Hey, but our Thanksgiving uniforms are dope as hell, though. The Thanksgiving
uniforms.
Yeah, I like
the old school.
We got the blue on the shoulder pads.
I wish y'all... I wish I would wear the old school uniforms more often. And it's nice to see some of these teams do it, but some of these teams are taking it way back to the old school. I'm talking like the 30s and 40s. I remember a game where Denver had against New England when they was wearing these uniforms. They looked like a stack of bananas. I was like, what the hell is this?
Oh, hold on. Remember Philadelphia's damn throwback uniform from the 40s when they played Detroit?
Period. And they won that game. They put up 55 freaking points in those ugly-ass uniforms. I was totally embarrassed. I couldn't show my face for a whole week. I was so utterly mad. I mean, them were some of the ugliest uniforms I've ever seen. I'm like, what did they rip those off of or something? Because that was just, just disgusting.
Yes.
The New York Jets, their uniforms. And they put up 56 points in those uniforms. I'm like, what is with these teams going back to these ugly uniforms and putting up all these points? I don't understand. Seriously. I remember, I think it was two years ago, Tampa Bay switched back to their old popsicle uniforms and they beat the Packers. I was like, oh, wow.
Wow.
They couldn't beat them when they had those uniforms, and they beat them with them now, for real? Damn.
Wow.
You know?
Shit is crazy.
Now, I will say this.
No.
And I might get some heat for this, but I missed the Giants logo when it would just say Giants on the helmet. I never really liked the NY.
I kind of like that logo now. You know what I'm saying? It's simple, just got the NY on it. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing too complicated. They got their little blue and they white, they red and shit, you know. It's not better than my Cowboys uniform, but, it's close. It's close.
Maybe
we'll
find out on opening night when those two teams tangle, and I'm gonna just take some bets on who's got the best looking uniforms. I just might up that on my Facebook status. Show of hands.
oh man. Well, check this out, brother. I want to say something. You say what?
You say what now? No,
I was gonna say I greatly appreciate the time, but I gotta head back to the plantation before Master cut off my foot. And I'm not trying to get my foot cut off because I've got to go home tonight. So, keep doing what you're doing. I wish you nothing but the best. I'll call you next week on Wednesday.
Oh, for sure, man. Looking forward to having you again.
Yes, sir. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy, people.
You too, man. Thanks for calling
right.
in.
Yes, sir.
Well, that was my cousin, Ajani Akil, who I met at Specs Howard, calling to chime in on his uniforms. And as you can see, he is an extremely big Dallas Cowboys fan, and sometimes it just makes me laugh. I remember we had a game last year between the Cowboys and Lions, and when the Cowboys had that 27-3 lead and Detroit came back and won, Akil, I didn't have to see him in person, but I could just think of the look on his face when that game was over. And since then, me and him, we've just been going at it. We always bring up that game, and, you know, it's just funny. It's just funny. Well, we're still taking calls, 347-327-9586. We're still talking. Best and worst looking uniforms and logos throughout sports history. I'm going to jump ship a little bit. I'm going to go to hockey real quickly. I've always been a fan of the Red Wings uniforms. Love them. The red and the white, love it. Love the symbol, love the logo. I used to like when Mike Vernon was their goalie, and he had the goalie headpiece on where it just showed the Red Wings logo on there throughout the entire headpiece. I just thought that was awesome looking. And then when they brought in Chris Osgood, he didn't wear it as much. In fact, I don't think Chris Osgood ever wore it at all, but I wish he did, because I just thought that was an awesome-looking logo. The Nashville Predators, I like the logo. I like it. It kind of looks like, kind of symbols a little bit because of the Predator, the saber-toothed tiger. It kind of looks like the Jacksonville Jaguars uniform a little bit because of the way that it's shaped. I thought it was awesome. And to me, Jacksonville's logo is one of the best ever. I love the Jacksonville Jaguar helmet. And the logo. I don't really care much for the uniforms, but I've always been a big fan of the logo. Going back to when I used to be a diehard Jaguars fan when they had Mark Brunell as their quarterback and Keenan McCardell and Jimmy Smith and, You know, when they had running backs like Natrone Means and James Stewart, and even when they drafted Fred Taylor in 1998, I love those uniforms. Loved them and loved that logo, one of the best ever. Carolina, same thing. When those two teams came into the NFL in 1995, I was just looking at those logos like, oh, yeah, they're going to make some noise. And showing up in their second years, they came in and they made some serious noise. They both got to the conference finals games and in their respective conferences, and I just thought that that was pretty impressive. One other one, and I'm going to take a quick call. One other uniform I love right now that I didn't love before is the Tennessee Titans. Remember when they used to play in Houston, they were known as the Oilers? Y'all remember that? Well, I remember I didn't really care for that symbol. I didn't really care for the logo, and I really didn't care for the uniforms, but I did like the powder blue. But I love the Tennessee Titans uniform so much better. It is kick-ass. You could arguably say it's the best uniform in the league right now. You could certainly make a case for them. Well, we're about to take a quick call real quick. Got another 313 number. I'm pretty sure I think I know who this is. Caller, you're on the line. Drop a dime.
What up, though? What up, though? What up with it, boy?
What's going on with you?
Chilling, chilling, chilling.
Thank you for calling in. Thank you for calling in. Just had another good mutual friend drop in. And it's good to have you on air tonight. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for calling in. As you know, our topic is the best and worst looking uniforms in sports history, logos, just something I decided to step outside the box with. So you got anything you want to chime in on?
Well, to me, I think the dopest football uniform I've ever seen, and I think I'm probably the only motherfucker that watched this, was XFL. He Hate Me. I thought that shit was just so fucking dope.
You like that uniform?
Yeah.
You basically like it with the name on the back?
I like the name.
I think,
I liked everything about the league, period, you know, but like I say, I'm probably the only person in the world who liked the XFL, but
I'm not going to lie to you. I used to watch the XFL a little bit. I wish they had kept it going because
right.
It was starting to gain some popularity. I wish
right.
they kept it going. I wish they kept it going. And then when they left, I went back to watch it.
But see, I also wish that the USFL wouldn't have went out the way they did either.
Yeah, United States Football League. Because
yeah.
keep in mind
especially
that
the Michigan Panthers. The Michigan Panthers were some bad motherfuckers, boy.
Yeah, and I remember when Warren Moon used to play in the USFL, and he used to be phenomenal. Then he came
yeah,
up with
Warren
the
Moon, Herschel Walker.
Yep. Jim Mora Sr., he used to coach over there. He won championships over there before his whole playoffs tyrant. He used to be really, really, really dope over there. But going back to that He Hate Me, I think his name was Rod Smart. He was best known for his time in Carolina with the Panthers. He was, I think, the last notable person to wear that jersey. And I forgot the name of the team it was on, but, yeah, the XFL was where it's at, Tommy Maddox. He went over there, and he went over there after his first stint in the NFL ended, went over there, started building himself up, went over to the Arena League, and then when he came back to the NFL, he had that one great year in 2002, and he kind of redefined his career a little bit. And then he got himself a ring a few years later, so... the XFL was dope. I just wish they kept it going. That was my only intent. One of the other uniforms I used to admire a lot was the old 49ers uniform, where they kind of had the golden approach to it with the red.
Yeah, Joe Montana era.
White. Yeah. Yeah, and even when Steve Young, when he took over and they still had Jerry Rice, I like that uniform. Love it. Because they were kind of like your grandma's 49ers, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Those boys used to be so dope. And they went out there and won in those uniforms, and I loved it. Loved it.
Yeah, I mean, that's when they was in their prime, you know, that's when they was in their heyday. You know, they were still a dynasty back then.
Yeah, back in the 80s.
Late 80s, early 90s.
Yep, good old times. One other particular uniform I love is the San Diego Chargers, especially when they have their powder blue. And you can say that it's the best uniform in the league right now.
I never liked that shit.
The powder blue? Man, the powder blue is dope.
I never liked the Chargers uniforms, period. You know, it's just something about the lightning bolt going around. It's just rubbed me the wrong way.
I thought that's one of the dopest helmets I've ever seen. I wish I could buy one right now, dude. That's one of the dopest uniforms ever, man. You don't like it? No, sir.
No, sir. They could have kept that shit.
Man, I love it.
My little sister came up with something better than that, dude.
I wish they'd do away with the dark blue uniforms and just keep the powder blue as their home jerseys and keep the white as the road jerseys. But
yeah.
I love the powder blue. Love it. I love the logo. I love the symbol. And I like how they kind of upgraded their numbers and what the jerseys look like now. I love it. I cannot lie to you.
I am
they
not
can't
feeling
recall
that,
why
dude.
I ain't never
felt their uniforms. I ain't never.
There came a time when I went away from them for a while when they would not wear the powder blue and they just had the dark blue. And I was so disappointed. Back
right.
when Junior Seau used to play in his heyday. I'm like, man, they're going to wear those powder blue again one day. And then I think a few years after they drafted LT, they brought him in and, you know, they decided to start wearing powder blue because fans started to lobby for it.
Yeah.
Rightfully so. But yeah, I love
it. Speaking of whack uniforms, another one I didn't like the throwbacks from the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, Akil's going to be mad at you. We were just talking about that.
I like the big ugly ass stars going down his shoulders. What the fuck, man?
Well, actually, I like the old school uniforms they wear on their Thanksgiving games or sometimes like once or twice during the season when they had the big star on the white helmet and they had the more white and darker blue jerseys. I like that, the way that they have it set, the way it looks. I think it's dope.
Yeah.
I think it's dope looking. I'll take that over their usual uniforms now. Be honest with you. And there came a time when they barely wore those uniforms with the star on the side of the jerseys. Barely wore it. Minnesota's uniform, I've always loved their logo, like the with the actual Viking. I always thought that was pretty nice looking. St. Louis. I used to be a big fan of the regular blue and yellow jerseys they had. I thought those were some of the dopest jerseys I've ever seen. And
yeah, I did too. I like the ones they had when they was in L.A. too, though.
Yeah, those are the same ones. And then
yeah.
they moved over to St. Louis in 95. Yep, same ones. And I never really felt like the golden jerseys. I mean, I felt like they kind of upped the tempo a little bit. But when they first introduced those jerseys, most of the fans were kind of dead set against it. And me being a Rams fan at that time a little bit, I was like, man, I hope one day if they ever, like, wear their throwback uniforms again that they go back to wearing those because I think that those are nice looking. Like,
yeah.
back when they had Jerome Bettis as their running back and
yep.
even that year they won the Super Bowl, those are some nice looking uniforms. I just love the colors. Like, I'm a big fan of colors on uniforms like that, and I thought that was dope.
I know you talked about the Lions already.
Actually, no. No, but I would tell you I like the logo. It's a major upgrade. Major upgrade. That lion symbol looks more intimidating. You have to. I was looking on their team websites back when they had their old logos that they had back in the day. Some of the ugliest looking logos I've ever seen. The lion. It looked like it was something drawn out of a cartoon. Like the first two logos they ever had. I was like, what? And then the one that they've always had throughout many years during the Barry Sanders era was a major improvement. And now the one that they got now is a major upgrade. But if you ever get a chance, go to their website and see, like, their old logos they used to have. You're going to crack up because you're like, what in the hell is this? And again, that was back when there was no such thing as a fashion statement. But
right.
when I see teams, you know, wear their throwbacks, I'm like, oh, my God, that is hideous. Ugly.
Right.
Literally ugly. I like
yeah,
the
see, I don't like their throwbacks, but I do dig them black jerseys they have.
You like the black jerseys?
Yeah, black jerseys.
That's
dope as fuck.
I wasn't a fan of them, only because I always been used to the whole Honolulu blue and silver. I never liked the black. Never. Even now, I wish that they would, you know, find a way to get rid of the black off the jersey.
Come on, man. The black looks more aggressive. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, I don't know. I just wasn't feeling that whole black thing. I thought they did the right thing by doing away with those uniforms. What I wish they would do is go back to 1998 when they had their road uniforms for that one season. They had the black, it was the kind of like the regular blue pants. They still had the white jerseys.
Yeah, the Reebok
jerseys,
right?
It was more of a blue silver. Yeah, it was just for the 1998 season. It was just for that year. Their road uniforms were different because before and then even after their road jerseys, the pants were always more gray with the Honolulu blue running down the side. They flipped it for that year. So for that year, it looked a lot different. I actually like those road uniforms. I like the way that those colors looked on them. But I was never a fan of the black jerseys, especially when they wore them on those Thanksgiving Day games. Ugh. I am so glad they did away with
them. I thought them black jerseys was dope as hell.
But I'll be honest with you, though. Some of the teams that look good with the black jerseys, Philadelphia, I love those black jerseys. Baltimore, I love their black jerseys. Jacksonville, I remember they used to wear their black jerseys. They still do sometimes. I like those. There's another team who used to wear their black jerseys. I can't remember. Oh, besides, not talking about Pittsburgh, but that's the other team. I've always been a fan of their jerseys.
That's my team right there. Steelers.
Yeah. But to me.
Yeah, that's right. I live in Detroit, but I'm a Steelers fan. So what?
Oakland's uniforms to me were just so dope. Whether they played in Oakland or L.A., I love the Raider logo symbol. It just looks so dope on the side of their helmet. I like it.
Oh, man, I remember I went through a Raider phase when I was a teenager.
Yeah. I can't deny it, though.
I used to rock the Raider hat with the word Raiders written in cursive. Oh, Ice Cube hats.
Yep, I was
a Raider out back in them days.
I used to have the old Bo Jackson T-shirt jersey where, because at the time they were so popular, even after he retired, they stayed popular.
Yeah.
I used to wear them for a few years, and then, you know, after a while, you wear a jersey like that so much, you outwear and it starts messing up. That's what happened to me. And
yeah, it happened to me too.
Yeah. A lot of us, you know, you grow up and you wear these jerseys. I used to make the big mistake because I didn't know any better when I was a kid. I used to throw my jerseys in the dryer. My mom would tell me, don't throw your jerseys in the dryer.
No, you don't do that, dog.
Yeah, I used to do that
like
when I was a kid. I didn't know better.
You're supposed to hang that shit up, dog. Either hang it up or dry clean it.
Right. I used to have the old my old Grant Hill jersey when the Pistons had those ugly teal colors, but it was still a popular jersey at the time.
Yeah.
And then I wore it, messed it up, and I was never able to buy another one. I mean, I can go and buy one now if I want, but that was popular.
Oh, yeah, for the record, I hated that damn logo. That damn Pistons
logo. With the
I hated that.
Name,
I hated
the
that. That post Bad Boys logo. Post Bad Boys era. That shit was whack as hell to me.
I hated the colors, but I'll tell you, I love the uniform color.
I didn't like the uniforms. I didn't like the colors. I didn't like the fucking logo. I ain't like nothing about it.
So you prefer their jerseys that they have now, the logos now?
Yup.
So you were never feeling that horse symbol?
No, I wasn't ever feeling that.
Oh, man, I don't know what to
tell
you,
bro. I like the ones they have now, and I like the ones because they look more similar to the Bad Boys era.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I can agree with that. I was talking to Akil earlier, and I was saying, you know, I wish that they would take that horse symbol and use it with the – because they did for a while. They had the same logo that they had in the late 90s, and then they changed it up when they went back to the red, white, and blue. So the logo were different colors, which I preferred. But, you know, I like the uniforms now. The uniforms are a major, major improvement because I hated that teal, turquoise, whatever you want to call it. I hated it. Hated that color. Still do to this day because they never won in those uniforms. But,
nah,
you know. Yeah, that's true.
I said they need to do away with the horse altogether, bring back the basketball.
Ah. You know,
bring back the basketball logo.
Yeah, I was never really feeling that logo because it was too plain to me. You know, Detroit Pistons with the basketball signal or whatever, or sign or whatever.
I mean, that's kind of the point, though, you know, straight to the point, you know. We ain't got to have all that flashy shit.
So you kind of prefer just the regular strict uniforms, like
regular
basic.
Regular basic.
So you
know, less is more.
You probably
I'm
like
less is more kind
now.
Of guy. Yeah.
You probably like a lot of the NBA uniforms now. So you weren't into that whole fashion thing like a lot of the NBA teams used to do back in the late 90s.
Nah.
Man, I used to be a
that
big fan of
that shit got
whack
as hell in the 90s to me, man.
I used to love the jerseys because I was a big fan of fashion on jerseys, you know, because I always thought certain symbols would make a team look more intimidating, like the Pistons' old jerseys, like the Hawks' old logo, like the Toronto Raptors' old logo when they used to have the Raptor on the jersey, the
right.
Grizzlies when they used to play in Vancouver. I always thought that symbols like that would make a team look more intimidating. And it's kind of funny because back then, at the time, the NFL, their jerseys and logos weren't, some of them weren't as intimidating as they are now. You know what I'm saying? I like
yeah.
what the NFL has done.
Oh, and for the record, I do not like the current Patriots logo.
I prefer the old one
with the old Patriot and the 3-point stance. That's just cold.
With the football, you like that one?
Movie yeah,
man,
that was cold as hell to me.
You are one of the most old school people I ever met, dude.
Yeah, that's some real old school shit. That's what 80s.
Man, that's
70s.
Old. It don't get more old school than that. Damn, that was back when my father was my age. Yeah, that uniform. Well,
yeah,
that logo
late 70s, 80s. You got to keep in mind, Rocky. I'm a 70s baby, dude.
Oh yeah, and don't I know that. So let me ask you this. What did you think of the Miami Dolphins jersey back when that Dolphins symbol used to look real serious as opposed to, like, the cartoonish more that they have now?
I ain't never liked the Dolphins jerseys.
I like the
that
Dolphins
shit look
orange jerseys.
Gay as hell to me. No.
I like the Dolphins orange jerseys. I ain't going to lie to you. I like those because
I didn't like their jerseys. I didn't like their colors.
I like those jerseys just because it's just that color works for them. It works for their uniform. It works for their symbol. It works for where they play at because they used to play in the Orange Bowl Stadium. So they
mm-hmm.
were used to wear orange, and fans were – they would just go ballistic over those uniforms. They loved them. Those jerseys back then were like a fan favorite compared to, like, you know, the greenish-bluish type, the teal that they have now with the white, you know, that they wear.
Right.
On the road, yeah, yeah. That dolphin logo used to look real, real serious. Like you couldn't see its face or anything. Now it's like they upgraded it, you know, during the late era of Dan Marino, and I kind of liked it. I like it because the dolphin it looks more fun loving. But them logos used to look real serious back in the day, and I used to tell people, man, you wearing that jersey? You seen that logo? That logo looks real serious, you know.
Yeah.
But the Seattle Seahawks, I don't know what the hell they doing. I do not like what they did with their uniforms where they added the green to it, the actual light green. I felt like they should have kept it the way it's been over the years and just do away with the light green.
I agree.
To be honest with you, the uniforms
just,
they used to have.
What they should have just did was stuck, you know, just modernized the logo they've been had.
Yeah, because the logo that they have now looks much more serious and much more intimidating than
exactly.
what they had before, back when
exactly.
they used to play in the Kingdom during the Joey Galloway era. Those uniforms back then were ugly, and I really wasn't feeling that logo much. I like what they did with the logo. They darkened it up, and they added a couple other different colors to it, but I do not like that light green. And I was watching that preseason game the other night. I was like, ugh. I hope those uniforms last no longer than one season. Because, you know, a lot of these NFL teams, they were doing the new logo covers for the marketing companies, and some of the teams plan on changing their uniforms. But the way that they have it now is in the NFL, if you're going to change your logo, you got to keep it the way it is for 5 years before you can change it. So, for instance, before the Lions decide to change their uniforms again, they got to keep it the way it is for another 2 more years before they
yeah.
decide to change it again. So I never really liked that rule. I feel like, you know what, if a team wants to change their uniform, they can.
Let
I'm not
right.
feeling that they can't. But 5 years, that's a hell of a long time before you got to change a uniform. You know what I'm saying? That's,
right, and then
that
people
whole rule is something
people
I think
get
they
used
away.
To it. And, you know, by the time you get ready to change to the next one, you know, it's going to be a backlash. Whoa, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, because some of the teams who just recently changed their uniforms over the years, if you go on, like, some of the websites or – you know, on some of the sports stations, they still go by their previous logo because it takes a while for it to kick in, whatever you want
yeah.
to call it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I never really liked that rule. I always thought that rule was stupid. I felt like they should do away with that or something. And Of course, you know, me and the kid, we talked about those old Tampa Bay Popsicle uniforms back in the day. And I was like, man, it's no wonder that they lost their first 26 games ever. I hated those uniforms. Ugly, ugly, ugly. First of all, the Buccaneer, they had a name for it. They used to call them Buccaneer Bruce. And it was the pirate on the side of the helmet, you know, with, you know, he had one eye open and he was winking and he had the sword in his mouth. I was not feeling that. I hated that. Hated it. To this day, hated it. Hated it. And it's a shame because it's the only throwback uniform the Bucks can wear because they only had one.
Yep.
And if you're a team like Carolina, you don't have a throwback uniform. You got to wear just the one that you've been wearing. But those Buccaneer uniforms were the ugliest I've ever, ever, ever seen. And they have been uglier, but believe me, that those are about as ugly as it gets. And I think about those uniforms that teams used to wear back in the old day. And I remember the Steelers, they used to wear brown. They used to wear brown, and their logo used to be really, really, really old. And I was like, whoa, I didn't know that the uniform looked like that. And then I had to brush up on my history. I was like, wow, killer.
Yeah, I ain't never knew that either, you know, because ever since I remember, they had the same black and gold.
Yeah, going back to the 30s and 40s, if you ever get a chance, you have to brush up on what their history looks like. It's like, okay, wow, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I feel like I'm slacking now, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't even up on that, and I've been a Steelers fan since, like, the 80s.
Well, you know, some of these teams nowadays over the years, they've worn their uniforms going back to the 30s and 40s and 50s or whatever, back before, like, the modern era used to be what it was. And
right.
I just love a lot of these teams that upgraded their logo symbols, like the Falcons when they upgraded their logo, the Cardinals when they upgraded their logo, much more intimidating looking.
Yeah. I agree about the Falcons. The Falcons is dope as hell. Their logo.
Yeah. And the Cardinals, their uniforms are kind of like the same because both teams wear the same colors, red, black, and white. And it just looks so much more intimidating. The other team I was thinking about, the New York Jets. I meant to bring this up earlier. I kind of like their old logo when they used to have the jet name, and then they would have like a small symbol of a plane flying above the
yeah,
the
like a wing on up on up
yeah.
top.
Yeah, I don't miss those old jerseys, but I like that logo a lot better than what they have now. And it's like they went back to the Joe Namath days, you know, with the logos that they have now, and they. According to, well, now they've had it for, what, over a decade now. Yeah, since 1998 when was the year that they changed them. And I just think about what some of those teams' uniforms used to look back in those days, and it's just like, wow. Wow, the years have changed, like literally. I remember when the old Eagles uniform, it used to be just plain old green back when they had Buddy Ryan as the head coach in the early 90s.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that.
And then they changed it. I thought that was one of the best upgrades I've ever seen. Loved it. Still do to this day. Still love the simple and everything. And, of course, the Buccaneers uniforms now are just, you know, since 97, they've always been dope. Denver, their uniforms have always, to me, been a favorite because I've always been a Broncos fan, and I love what they did. As opposed to what they did before, you know. And it's funny because I was like, yeah, they changed those uniforms. Now they're going to start winning Super Bowls. So that's dope. That is dope. So, yeah, 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 I love it. I love what a lot of these teams that do. But to me, the one team I think should have never changed their uniforms was the Cincinnati Bengals. I hate what their uniforms look like right now. It's ugly with a capital U. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Ugly.
Right.
Ugly.
Well, Dick, this is Rocket. I hate to cut this short, but I gotta run.
All right, well, thanks for having me, man. We're about 10 more minutes away from the end of the show, but thank you for dropping in. And
For sure.
Every Wednesday.
Sure,
I'm going to get
at
you about the upcoming production. So are you going to be available tonight?
Oh, no doubt. Get at me after the show.
Okay, I'll make sure I do that.
All right, peace.
All right. That was one of my other upcoming co-collaborators, Mr. X, who I was talking about before. He is one of the co-hosts for the Black Rocket Blast show that you can listen to every Friday on Blog Talk. It's called the Black Rocket Blast, BLAQE, Rocket Blast He's on there doing his thing. I used to be on that show. I mentioned this on last week's show. Shout out to everybody that's still over there doing their thing. I call in and check up on those guys every now and then. Well, we're almost towards the end of this show. Some of these uniforms just kind of take me back to when I was a kid, and I used to grow watching a lot of these teams play, and I just remember, oh, my goodness, what have these teams done? Some of the teams who I haven't mentioned, the Houston Texans, the Colorado Avalanche, the Florida Panthers, the New York Yankees, the Detroit Tigers. I like the uniforms. Love them. I'm not really feeling the Miami Marlins uniform. I liked it better when they were known as the Florida Marlins, like in terms of what their uniforms look like. The Seattle Mariners, I've always been a fan of their. The Oakland Athletics got the best damn uniforms I've ever seen in the history of Major League Baseball. I want to take the time and put that out there. I love those uniforms. If I were to play baseball, I would play for that team just to play in that uniform. You know what I'm saying? I love that uniform. I think that uniform is dope, and it's just as dope as it gets. It don't get no bigger. It don't get no better. So, again, Oakland Athletics, best uniforms I've ever seen in the history of baseball and one of the best I've ever seen in sports history. Y'all keep doing y'all thing in those uniforms. Don't you ever change them or I will sue you for infringement because you just can't do that. Sorry. Sorry, you can't do that. I'm sorry. I'm a little bit of an Oakland A's fan. You know, I've grown up so many years admiring their uniforms. I've been a big fan. So, yes. Yes, yes. Another team I neglected to mention, who I think has some really nice-looking uniforms, and this is a team that, well, I can't say I was always a fan of them, but I kind of admire what they've done a little bit over the years, somewhat, maybe a little bit, but not too much. That team, to me, is the Washington Redskins. I like their Redskins symbol. I think that's a nice looking symbol for them. It's better than what their old throwbacks used to look like. Back when they just had the symbol with the letter R on the side of the helmet, what they do now looks a lot better, a whole lot better. And again, for some of these other teams, the Houston Texans, their uniforms are just so dope looking. I hope they never change them. And I like the red jerseys too. I do. I like the red jerseys, and I just admire those colors. So, again, thank you. Thank you. Well, we're at the end of our broadcast. I want to thank you guys for tuning in to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. I want to take this opportunity right now to send a few shout-outs to everybody. Thank you guys for listening in. Next Wednesday, we're going to keep this going. Not sure what the topic is going to be, but stay tuned. You'll know for sure. In fact, you might know before this night is over, or you might know within the next 24 hours. So I want to take the time and say, thank you guys for tuning in. It's been a pleasure. I enjoy your company. I hope you enjoyed mine. To my homeboys, Akil, to Mr. X, thank you guys for calling in as usual. Next week, I'm at it again. Again, shout out to my castmates in the stage play, A Different Shade of Blue films, The Goblin Lady film, Love Has a Mind of Its Own. Shout out to my good friend and comedy mentor, Ken Van. Thank you for allowing me to interview on the Rocket Video Edition. You can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/CRISTEN Adams Fan Support. You can also find me on YouTube, ComicalFella22. You can see some of my old stand-up comedy clips on there. You can find me on Facebook on my other page, facebook.com/ChristianRocketAdams. And you can also find me on a few old, local acting websites. You can check my one of my current films, The Goblin Lady, on whoisthegoblinlady.com. You can find me on there, featured in the trailer, and feature it on a character bio in the acting website. Shout out to those guys doing their thing. My big brother, Giles, thank you so much for your time and your contributions and your knowledge and experience. I can't do this without you, and I never could. So thank you, thank you, thank you. To everybody who I've worked with, I want to give a shout-out to the upcoming Boss Lady stage production by playwright Vanessa Lynn. Thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of the original. I know I'm not in the DVD cover, but I will definitely come and try and support that to the best of my abilities. If I don't be there, I'm there in spirit. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of your production. To everybody from Extreme Action Entertainment to my shady castmates to my homeboys, Damo and Eli, my co-CEO partners at Thundercracker Entertainment. We're going to keep this thing going. Things are going to get bigger and better. To Deion Robinson, keep up the great work. Happy to be able to help you out. And to everybody who I've worked with now and will continue to work with as my career progresses and transgresses, I want to say thank you to my girl, Noelle Fry, who is, you know, my eye-opener, my baby girl, my Lady Rocket. I want to say thank you. I love you. Same time next week, folks. We will see you next Wednesday. Rocket Nation, get ready for a power trip. Take care. Mm-hmm.